My dearly beloved, the priest, when he says the gospel for this Mass, goes to the book and says, Initium Sancti Evangelium, which means the beginning of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Normally we say sequentia, the continuation of the gospel. But we have today the beginning of the Gospel of St. Matthew, which gives us this almost tedious list of all of these names, showing us the genealogy of our Lord from Abraham down to Joseph. Now you might wonder, why does the evangelist not give the genealogy of Mary? Because after all, Joseph was the foster father of Jesus, not his biological father, but his foster father. But the reason is for a couple things. First of all, the Jewish people always gave the genealogy of the father, not the mother. But also, Our Lady and Saint Joseph had the same ancestors all the way down to a couple of generations before Saint Joseph. They had identical ancestors. At any rate, Saint Matthew's purpose in giving the genealogy at the beginning of his gospel is to demonstrate that our Lord was descended from David. There are many prophecies in the Old Testament that point out that the Redeemer of the world, and of course the Jewish people were all in preparation for the coming of the Redeemer, the Messiah. But there are many prophecies that the Messiah would be of the line of David. In fact, on Palm Sunday, when our Lord entered the holy city, what did the people cry out? Hosanna to the Son of David, which was another way of saying Hosanna to the promised Messiah. So this is why St. Matthew begins his gospel in this way, and also St. Luke, early on in his gospel, gives the genealogy of our Lord, and St. Luke goes from our Lord all the way back to Adam. So, genealogy, it is interesting. A lot of people are curious about their ancestors. Ancestry.com and other websites are big business because people want to know where they come from, who their ancestors were, as far as what they can discover. And that in itself is fine. No problem with that, unless it gives rise to contention, that someone thinks I'm better than another because my ancestor was so-and-so. And it seems like this is what St. Paul had in mind in the words which I will read, where he warned against genealogies. This is in his first epistle to Timothy. When I went to Macedonia, I asked thee to stay on at Ephesus, that thou mightest charge some not to teach novel doctrines, and not to study fables and endless genealogies, which beget controversy, rather than godly edification, which is in the faith. Here's another passage. This is from his epistle to Titus, where St. Paul says, avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and quarrels and disputes about the law, for they are useless and futile. So what does he mean? If someone, again, spends time exploring a genealogy for the purpose of priding himself over another, then that's not good. In fact, the gospel for today, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, is of the Good Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were a schismatic people. They had raised up a schismatic religion separate from the Jewish religion and the worship in the temple. And for this reason, the Jews avoided them. But notice who helped the man who had been beaten by the robbers. It was the Samaritan. So you could have someone whose ancestors were heretics, schismatics, and this person can become a saint. On the other hand, you could have someone who is descended from very holy people, and they end up turning out bad because our ancestry is no guarantee of how we shall live. We each are responsible for our own soul and have to strive to to do God's holy will, and to sanctify ourselves. Now, getting back to this genealogy, there is an interesting fact about it, and that is that St. Matthew names four women over and above Our Lady. And these four are Thamar, Rahab, Bethsabe, and Ruth. And the scriptures, well, let me read to you what St. Jerome says about this. He mentions Judas begot Phares and Zara of Thamar. Note that in the detailing of the Savior's genealogy, not one of the saintly women in the line is mentioned, but only those whom the scriptures reprove. So you have four women mentioned. The most virtuous was Ruth. In fact, there's an entire book in the Old Testament, a short book, four chapters, and it's named the Book of Ruth, that tells her story. And she was a virtuous woman, but she was a Gentile. But the other three were adulteresses. And so you might think, well, that's an embarrassing detail. Why doesn't the evangelist kind of sweep that under the rug? In fact, he doesn't even mention the names of the virtuous and holy, saintly women in our Lord's descent. But he mentions these. And St. Jerome goes on to say, Christ, who came for the sake of sinners to blot out the sins of all, was born of sinners. Hence also subsequent verses mention Ruth and Bethsabe, etc. There are some who say, well, you know, you Catholics, you have had bad popes in the history of the church, or bad bishops, or bad Catholics. That has nothing to do with who we are and how we live our faith. So we have to be careful again that genealogies and study and research into them doesn't become a point of contention or pride. We each have to sanctify and save our own soul. At the same time, it is interesting to see this, the evangelist mentioning this. If you read the books of the Old Testament, there are some of them that are tedious for a long list of different persons and who begot whom, etc. And the Jews were very big on this because they wanted to make sure that they maintained their race, the Jewish race, where they didn't intermix with the pagans around them. And also they were to marry only within their own tribe. And so for them, there was a reason for giving that genealogy. Be that as it may, let us all sanctify ourselves by cooperating with God's grace, making use of the Mass, the sacraments, prayer, avoidance of occasions of sin, and obedience to the law of God. Because it doesn't matter who our relatives or ancestors were, each of us is responsible for his own soul, and God has given to us all the graces we need to sanctify and save our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.